It happens right here on the Station Making Waves, 89.3 WHFR.FM.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn, listener-supported, non-commercial radio.
Welcome to the WHFR Journal, this August, mid to late August, Friday edition. We are pleased that you are here today and celebrating all things.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Welcome to the WHFR Journal, this August, mid to late August, Friday edition. We are pleased that you are here today and celebrating all things summer with us. No doubt about that. Can't avoid that no matter what. Another thing that we are celebrating and honoring truly are the people that do and have made this facility, made Henry Ford College what it is today. Some of them are still here with us. Some of them are no longer with us physically, but here in spirit. And we're going to get into that discussion. I'm Susan McGraw. Glad you're here with us today. And happy Friday. First on this this afternoon's agenda, you likely know this name, Rick Goward. If you have lived in Dearborn, if you have been in or out of this Dearborn community and this wonderful music scene that we have sort of emanating from Henry Ford College, you know the name Rick Goward. Well, Rick Goward, our beloved maestro and big band leader for so many years at Henry Ford College, as we know, we lost him much too soon, and we are both honoring and sort of immortalizing his memory here on our campus with the dedication of the Rick L. Goward Band Room. And that takes place next week. So we are naming a very active room for a very active person who contributed in such a strong way to this musical community that we have here at HFC. So to speak to that a little bit and then to talk about his own musical legacy is another name that I know you've heard here in the Dearborn community and way beyond, and that is music maestro Kevin Dewey. Kevin is joining us in studio today, and it's I'm mixed emotions today, Kevin. Oh my gosh, there's just so much to be excited about and to think about and to look forward to. So I know that's very true for you as well. Welcome to the Journal.
Thanks, Susan. It's great to be here. Appreciate you having me on.
Certainly. Let's talk about Rick just for a little bit.
Happy to.
We have all had the pleasure of, those of us that have been here at the college for any length of time, had the pleasure of working with him in some capacity or another, because he was not an isolationalist.
No.
He didn't just stay in his office. He was around all the time. And some of those little pop-ins to the office were some of my favorite memories in my experience here. Tell us a little bit about yours.
Well, he's the person that met me when I came to the college. Certainly he was on the committee that hired me, but when it was time to start working here and I showed up, there he was, ready to assist me with anything I needed. He was a real yes man for me. You know, not only a really great musician and a great conductor and a great facilitator and public speaker and donation motivator, and you know, he could do anything. He had such a strong, beautiful personality. But he was also a yes man, and that's one of the things I've been reflecting on since his untimely passing last year, and also as I, you know, have been approaching my own retirement, is realizing how Rick never said no. Whenever I had something I wanted to try, some new idea, he always said, "Yeah, go for it." And that's the way he thought about the music program. Some people said, "Well, Kevin Dewey has a real pushy personality. Are you gonna, is that gonna bother you?" And he said, "I don't care. As long as he wants to go crazy with the choral program, I'll do my thing with the instrumental program, and then we'll combine for some things." He was not the least bit, didn't feel the least bit infringed upon. In fact, he always encouraged me for anything I wanted to do in the music program.
That's a great feeling, and it's also pretty rare in this
yes,
day and age.
Yes,
we
sure
tend
is.
To be, pretty territorial, pretty this is my way or the highway kind of a thing. But I think it really, the way you described sort of his culture of wanting to grow and evolve as a musical college, musical community, is what sparked the connection to so many people and why we just love him so much.
One of the things that he and I had in common in our musical philosophy for teaching and conducting is of course we have our groups that we try to strive for the greatest excellence in music, but what's more important to us is getting the most people involved in making music. He was really great at pulling people in from the community that weren't in college anymore, but wanted to come back and play an instrument in the band, whether the symphony band or one of the two jazz bands, and that rubbed off on me. And so we had several people in the chorus and the vocal jazz ensembles who certainly we had the students of the traditional student age, but we had many, many people from the community who had their own full-time jobs, families, and such, but would come back once or twice a week to rehearse and sing in one of our groups.
That keeps us all sort of fresh and young, and that word again, connected. And
yes, yeah, connected.
You're right.
I love it.
He was so good
it.
At that. We are honoring his legacy with a dedication of what
yes.
we normally, formally, will have called F10 or F110. I'm sorry, 110.
F110, the band room.
The band room. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about how this whole thing came about.
Well, it was actually before he had passed away. When he retired. Oh, I don't know how many years, 10 or 12 years ago, but you couldn't tell that he retired because he just stopped teaching classes. He still conducted the symphony band and the two jazz bands, and he was still very active as our instrumental director as an adjunct faculty for many years. But when the pandemic hit and everything shut down, that was when he decided to finally really retire for good. And so it was only a year into the pandemic when he died an untimely death. It was very sudden and very unexpected and very sad, and we still are reeling from it. We still feel his presence all throughout that building. But after that happened, it was so sad. Anyway, but it was prior to that. He had retired but was still with us when I approached Reginald Best, the vice president of the foundation, and said, he's been here for 39 years. And has made such a mark on the college and the community and internationally. Jazz festivals in France and Switzerland and, all around the world. Anyway, Reginald, we've got to name the band room after Rick, because that is his place. That's his stomping ground. That's where he's working all day long. He doesn't sit at the desk very much. He's moving chairs around or setting up or looking over music for the rehearsal. So, Reginald said, "Well, should we name like the music wing after him or something like that?" And I said, "That's not really the Rick thing. The band room was the thing." So Reginald was like, "Okay," and Reginald did the legwork to get that all approved by the board and all that sort of thing. And so that's that one thing led to another, but then sadly he passed away, and then after that they continued moving in the direction of naming the room. So we're going to finally dedicate it this Tuesday, the 22nd of August.
Just about 1 p.m. That is open to the public, by the way. We know there will be plenty of people there to experience that official dedication, again, right here on the campus of Henry Ford College. In addition, we are just a little earlier in that same day honoring the legacy of John McDonald, a former president of our local 1650 union and national AFT vice president. He will be honored with the John McDonald Student and Culinary Arts Center dedication. We're going to talk a little bit about that later in our show, so stick with us and you'll hear a little bit about that as well. So we want you to come over for a couple hours at least on that specific day on this Tuesday.
It's a 12 o'clock. Actually, they're serving lunch. at the dedication for the Culinary Arts Building for John McDonald, who was our teachers union president for so many years. And then everybody just trots on over to the Fine Arts Building for dessert at 1 o'clock at the Rick Allgauer Band Room, which is numbered F110.
That's so appropriate. Have the party part, sort of the extra party, all the sugar and stuff at the Rick Allgauer. I love that.
And the music that we're going to be having playing for that, by the way, is an interesting plug there too. It's a brand new album that we just released, The Big Guy. Mm. It's an album dedicated to Rick, who is known as lovingly as The Big Guy. And it's a collection of recordings by the big band under his direction over the last 30 or 40 years. And it's a beautiful CD. And yes, you can get it. It's an actual disc, believe it or not. But anyway, you'll hear that music playing as you come in. And if you want to purchase a CD, you can do that as well.
There you go. Speaking of legacy, speaking of a big guy, big presence on campus, I meant it like that. You know what I mean.
A big guy in more ways than one.
Yeah, you're like my brother, Kevin. I can say anything to you.
Yes, you can.
28 years.
And often have.
Yeah, that's good. 28 years on this campus, serving this community. Let's pivot just a little bit. You likely, and as you've shared, have been inspired by others that have come before you, most notably Rick Goward. But talk about taking something and really making it your own and leaving an impression on every single person that you have connected with and touched in such a positive and proactive way. Your journey here has come to an end officially. Congratulations on your official retirement from Henry Ford College.
Yeah, just 2 days ago, Wednesday, was my last day here.
Wow. Where do we begin? It's too many stories to put into, a half an hour, goodness.
Some people say I'm retiring too early. Mm. And if my full-time job were just directing choirs and bands, I'd probably stay 10 more years. But there's a whole lot more to the job, as you know. There's teaching classes and there's all kinds of administrative work and such. And all that stuff has just been, I've been burning the candle at both ends and in between for 45 straight years, not just the 29 years here, but even years before that. And I've got kids, young kids, and I want to, get healthier and be there more for them now. I've had my career, and so I want to be there more for them. And I'll still be doing a few musical things, but yeah.
Yeah, oh, I know you will. I'm sure your kids will thank you. Right now they're probably thinking, oh, more of Dad. This is going to be interesting, but I'm sure in a very loving way.
Well, just in time for them to go back to school, too.
There you go.
So they'll get me in small doses until it hits next summer.
That honey-do list, though, from your wife might be there for you when they're at school. I feel like that expression, it's not going to be the same, and again, I mean that with all the love and respect, but it's not possible for anybody else to step into your shoes and do things the same way. We know the show must go on, as they say, but what are some of the things that you, in your time here, those 28 years, what are you most proud of?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't want anybody to step in my shoes from the standpoint, when a new director comes or new directors come, they should feel free to put their own marks on the groups, because Jesse Young was great. He was the choir director here before I came, and he just rooted me on. He said, just you go in there and just do your own thing, Kevin, and don't worry about it. There's some traditions you can look at, but you don't need to worry. Don't try to emulate what I did. Mm. Do your own thing. And that's what Rick encouraged you, and that's what everybody did. So that was great. I think that was a good start here at the college was Jesse Young saying that to me, and then Rick being so encouraging about things. I began by bringing Vanguard Voices here as a choir in residence. There's a group that I conduct for the city of Dearborn, and we brought them in to rehearse on campus and to share some performances with the groups here at the college. And there was a lot of, back scratching between the college and the city of Dearborn Rec Department over the last 30 years. I called it the handshake across Michigan Avenue.
That's great.
Yeah. So it started off with that. And then I had, some vocal jazz groups and brought in a treble ensemble. That's an all-women's choir of 20 women called Renaissance Voices. It was also an excellent group to make part of the choral program. But so we've had the HFC Chorus, which has been the most fun because that's the group that has all kinds of students. We have high school advanced placement. We have mostly college, traditional. And then we also have older folks who've come back to sing, or middle-aged or older people who do it as if it were their community choir kind of situation. And that's a group that sings all different styles of music, too. And so having such a wide range of people, wide range of music, that's probably the group that I really love the most because of those reasons.
Yeah. Most recently, in terms of accolades, recognitions, we were at the 2023 Mayor's Arts Awards event. You and your group were performing, or yeah. You were conducting a beautiful celebration of the arts and
well,
many
our own Steve
area.
Glazer was getting an award.
That's right.
You know, from Steve Glazer from ceramics, obviously, and you know, from the art. I mean, obviously, he has to be, you know, a ceramics guy if his name is Glazer.
Well, yeah.
But anyway, he was getting a very prestigious award, and so. You know, they had called me about, you know, whether I might bring a group because they usually have somebody perform. So I said, yeah, sure, I'll bring a group. I'm coming anyway. Glad to support Steve. So I brought Renaissance Voices because they were the smaller group to squeeze into the place where the event was.
And lo and behold, surprise, Kevin.
Toward the end of the event, they had this other special award that they didn't list who was getting it in the
yeah.
program. I'm like, oh, who's going to get this neat award?
It in fact, it's called the Distinguished Recognition Award.
Oh, I thought it was extinguished.
No. Well,
recognition.
Yeah, no. And congratulations on that. It really was fun to be there to see
it was
the look
incredible.
On your face.
It yeah. was a total surprise.
Nothing else, yeah.
Well, apparently all the women in Renaissance Voices knew about it in advance, and then none of them let on, so I had no idea.
Oh, that's great. As it should have been, and again, so deserving. So many of the quotes that we hear about you making people feel welcome, making people feel less intimidated than they already are with wanting to be better at their craft, you know. Giving
That's why
people,
I was. When I was young, I didn't like the stuffiness of auditions and things like that. It always made me uncomfortable. So I tried to make people more comfortable. Usually, if a new singer came through the door, I would just say, hey, let's just sing Happy Birthday together. Happy Birthday. Mm-hmm. And we would just start with that just to kind of break the ice and keep it simple.
Oh, that's nice. I have heard tell about your corny jokes. I think
Me?
That's the
corny
expression.
Jokes?
The corny is the word that I hear most
they
about
say
you.
Dad jokes. Humor now.
Dad jokes. Yeah, that's true. And we are we're excited to have you use those jokes on different audiences, but we're going to miss them here. That's for sure. That's for
My
sure.
jokes are so corny. They're as old as Moses' toes and twice as corny.
And there it is. And
there it is.
Yeah. We are very excited to be talking about, the growth and the, you know, next steps for the college musical programs.
Yes.
But what about you? You said next steps with spending more time with your children who, you know, blink and they're in college. And we
yeah,
know how that
goes. Yeah, they're
12,
11, and 8 now. Mm. And so, you know, they're starting to pick up. They've all taken piano lessons since they were young. And they take piano lessons with Bonnie Shipling, who's a former student here and who also sings in the groups. And she's been a great teacher for them. So they really enjoy that. And of course, we're always singing around the house. But they're now starting to pick up instruments for the school band and that sort of thing, and that's exciting. Mm-hmm. I want to get a little healthier. Okay, I'd like to give myself, you know, a little self-care, get a little healthier and be there for my kids. And to be with them as they go through junior high and high school and into college and whatnot. But, of course, I can't stop doing music. I will still conduct Vanguard Voices for the City of Dearborn Recreation Department. And I also do a summer chorus, the Dearborn Summer Chorus, for them. Is that it? I don't know. I'm a special project right now as I'm music directing Young Frankenstein for the musical for the Players Guild of Dearborn. And then my wife and I and the three kids, all five of us, were assistants and music directors and music assistants for a Starshine week-long special theater musical program that the Players Guild sponsors with the National, with the Neighborhood Service Organization. So I'm supposed to be You know, when people say that they're worried about you, like, not doing anything when you retire, that won't be me.
No. In fact, the other side is going to be true.
It's going to be too much.
Where did I find the time to do anything before? Because I'm so incredibly busy.
Well, that's what people say.
Yeah. That's going to happen. We're talking with Kevin Dewey and congratulating him on his retirement of 28 years here at Henry Ford College and an additional dozen or so, at least, in the musical community, and contributing every bit of his energy and his life experience to making music and making musicians better. And isn't that a wonderful thing? We always think about it's in your blood, it's in your genes. You've talked about how your kids, encouraging them, and they're musical, and you know you're musical.
And my wife is too.
Oh, wonderful!
Yes, yeah.
Well, it was a given then. So back us up a generation or two. How far back can you trace the Dewey musical connection, or did it start with you?
Well, my dad's parents were both liked to sing at the Methodist Church, but my dad's mother was also a piano player and an organist and a leader of music. My dad, he played trumpet growing up. He played in the Vicksburg High School. That's near Battle Creek. Mm. And yes, it's still there if you look for it. High school marching band. But Dad also played in the U of M marching band. And that was a very exciting period of time for him. Big jazz nut. You know, when I was growing up, was listening to, Dad had a Sweet 16 speaker system that he built himself. And so I would hear, on Saturdays, he would put on the U of M marching band record albums and play them full blast on football day. And then the rest of the week, he was playing Stan Kenton, Maynard Ferguson, Don Ellis. And so I grew up listening to that kind of music. And then my mom, her parents weren't musical at all, but she was. She was a concert pianist. She had studied piano since she was young. And so if it wasn't the blasting jazz and marching band music, it was mom playing Chopin, Liszt, Brahms, Beethoven on a Steinway. I thought every kid's mom played piano. It was really funny when I found out later.
Classical
that
piano.
Wasn't really true. Yeah.
My mom played Heart and Soul with two fingers
there
on
you
her,
go.
But it was still music to my ears.
Well, and that's the way it should be, frankly. That's where I am too. I would just love that more people played and sang. I'm not looking for Olympic musicians. I'm looking for the, you know what? I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. You know, I would just love to have everybody singing and playing, and it doesn't have to be professional. It can just be nice.
Yeah. And now I'm craving a Coke for some reason.
Imagine Coke.
Imagine that. I'm kidding.
Who's going to get that?
Yeah.
Well, we'll
talk about
that.
It.
We got that.
I love that. When we bring in the opportunity for students to grow and to sort of just try new things and so on, there is this tendency to either realize that you can do this and this is your life's work, or realize that it is maybe an avocation and something that just you want to continue to keep in your life, but maybe just more for fun and so on. So what would you say in terms of the ratio, I guess, of people coming into the music program over the years that end up choosing to and actually doing this as a career versus just having it really just enrich their lives? Shouldn't say just, having it enrich their lives because they have grown and improved.
That's a great question. That's a good question, Susan. I think the majority of people, music is an avocation, or maybe a little bit more. You know, I mean, people can be really dedicated to a choir. You know, it's like, I suppose people are dedicated to, you know, even your bowling team or a bridge club, right? You're dedicated to the thing that you enjoy doing. And what's so amazing about, say, a choir is that you all are working together. The teamwork aspect of it is so necessary. And it's what really sort of, you know, we bond because we're singing together, and we need to blend together, and we need to tune together, and we need to be in time and all that. It's just a beautiful thing that way. But we have had some students go on to good careers, as performers, as teachers, and so that's, you know, that's a beautiful thing too. We really still are, you know, people need to be reminded that Henry Ford is still a community college, and special in that we're the community of Dearborn as opposed to a full County Community College. So, you know, so the fact that we have so many offerings for people that aren't necessarily looking for a college degree to do things like this, to grow, to enrich their lives. And that's why, you know, I'm always trying to get to make sure that these opportunities are available to as many people as possible.
Yeah, and opportunities indeed, things like traveling overseas,
yeah, performing,
presidential inaugurations.
Sure.
I mean, we're not talking the
and even right here when we go and perform for Veterans Day, it's mm-hmm. a big ceremony at the Performing Arts Center, and there's always dignitaries and you know, just very meaningful things. We'll perform here or there for Martin Luther King. We'll perform for any, you know, all kinds of events around town. It's just so meaningful when you bring music to an event. It just, and especially singing, because you know you've got the words of whatever you're singing that help stir the soul.
Yeah, not unlike Rick Goward doing the yes, yes, never saying no to anything.
Yes.
You've certainly emulated that in your time here, Kevin. Anytime there has been a need from anything I've ever been involved with, and I know this is true for most everybody, you've said yes, and you've set us up and set up the event with some beautiful live local choral music. So for that, we are very, very grateful. Very, very grateful. The next thing that comes into my head is, what are we going to do without you? Because that's a normal reaction, so allow me that for just a moment here. But as you indicated at the start of our discussion today, there are some things that are in the works that you're going to continue to connect with. I'm sure you'll be a support system for our interim coordinator, Anthony Lai.
Yeah,
and beyond. Was there anything that, I mean, have you given him any advice to kick things off in his sort of new role, or anything that you said, now I started this, let's try to finish it? Or, you know, are you just going to totally kind of back up and say, it's all you?
Well, that's a good question. I want to be careful to be more like Jesse Young and not sort of dictate what should happen. But the thing is that Anthony's been around. He's been here for all the stuff. He graduated from the music program here, earned his associates in arts and music here, went to Wayne State and earned a bachelor's in theory and composition, and then a master's degree in orchestral conducting. And then he sings and plays in Phoenix Theory, which is one of the top bands in the area. He's done church music. He does a community group. He does the Seaway Chorale and Symphony. So he's a very well-rounded musician, which I really respect. But he's been here as an adjunct professor for several years too. And so he's continued with the sort of things that Rick and I got going, like the President's Collage Concert, the annual one. And Anthony, he plans to continue that. Something that we just started a couple years ago, where we combined our performing ensembles along with our recording arts program and do a program called Studio to Stage, where we take the groups into the studio and do recordings that we release, but then they also obviously perform live. But that's been a wonderful collaborative experience. Well, he's been right at the heart of that too, because he's also a recording technician, and he's a live musician, and he's also made his own CDs. So you know, I think that's, you know, an example of something that he's going to continue. But he's also been discussing some areas in which he wants to do some, make some new ideas and make some adjustments going forward with the music program. And, you know, you ought to have him on your show so he can discuss that with you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he'd love to do that.
Good plug.
Good. We have discussed a lot of things. And it's been more me sort of showing him some of the administrative ropes that he wouldn't have known. And there are a lot of administrative ropes, as you know. Oh, jeez.
I know you're not going to miss that.
Too many ropes. That's the thing I'm going to. Yeah. Anyway, but so that's the case, and that he's got his own. And Jeremy Palmer, who's also so important to the program as the recording arts manager, and also our man who does everything for the music program. He can play and sing in any of the groups, but he can set up the sound system and run it. He can program. He loads software and the computers. I mean, he does everything in that building, and he's a big part of the success too. So they have some ideas. It's going to be good.
Mm. Yeah. They say, you know, it takes a village. That's the expression. Yeah. But I still always would say the caveat to that little quote is the village has to be led by somebody. And yeah. For all of these wonderful years, you have led this musical community, this musical village in a very positive, proactive, and beautiful way. We are again celebrating the dedication of the Rick L. Goward Band Room, which is in the Fine Arts Building, Building F, here on the campus, the Evergreen Road campus of Henry Ford College. That takes place this coming Tuesday. The John McDonald dedication of the Student and Culinary Arts Building will be at noon, and then around 1 o'clock we're going to head over and celebrate Rick Goward and have some dessert and have some fun in that band room, room F110. Kevin, a question that I guess I've always wanted to ask you in our last moments here, putting you on the spot. Do you have a favorite piece of music? Do you have a favorite composer? Do you have a favorite performer?
Oh,
if we
man.
Had to, you know, you're retired now. You've had plenty of time to, you know, think and get your
How
answer.
Many artists have you listened to and spun in your life, Susan? And how do you answer that question when someone... There's millions of them. But I tell you what, I'll tell you something that your listeners might find kind of interesting or cute. My oldest son, Alexander, his middle name is Kenton. And that's after Stan Kenton, the jazz musician who was my dad's favorite and my favorite, and it's something that he and I shared, my dad and I. And so that's sort of a legacy there, having the name Kenton for his middle name. So Stan Kenton, one of the tops. Mm. Elijah, our second son, his middle name is Chicago, after the city and the band. Mm. And in fact, we are so pleased to take all the kids to Pine Knob. And yes, it is called Pine Knob again, thank goodness.
Woo.
To see Chicago play live last year. And it was a wonderful experience. They all had a great time. They came home and they all ran over to the piano to start playing 25 or 6 or 4.
Oh, that's the one.
Dun, 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 dun. You know. But anyway, so that tells you something about Anna and me, because Anna went to college in Chicago at DePaul University. And so we love that city, and that's tied for my favorite band. If we had a third boy, we probably would have made his middle name Earth, Wind, and Fire or something.
Triplets.
And then, yeah, right. But then Leah, our daughter, her middle name is Juliana, which we have taken from the name Julie Andrews, who is my wife Anna's favorite singer.
Mm.
And so there you go. It sort of gives you a little... I was going to say a little nutcase, a little nutshell, a little peanut of a nutshell of you know, some of the people that we find, you know, great musicians. But I also love, of course, classical music, and Anne and I both do. And the choral music, I do a lot of classical choral music, as well as jazz and pop and rock and roll. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Thank you for that.
So, no,
that
not story. One favorite.
You answered the question very, very aptly. Thank you for that. And no matter what, there is music following you and surrounding you in the, you know, in the namesakes themselves, if not in every other way possible. So we congratulate you, Kevin. We wish you,
you.
Continued success in whatever next steps this journey brings. We know and we hope you won't be a stranger to our college and our community, and we know that's the case. So just thank you for everything, and we look forward to seeing you and hearing you, most appropriately.
It's my pleasure, again. Susan. Thanks a lot for having me. This has been really nice.
All right. We've got more on the way. This is the WHFR Journal. We'll be talking with, I believe, Eric Rader will be coming in here momentarily to talk a little bit more about some of the legacy, the history that we have to celebrate here at Henry Ford College.
If you're like me, 60 and retired, making ends meet, especially here at the supermarket and drugstore, is tough. I'm so blessed to have found BenefitsCheckup.org. It's a free and confidential website from the National Council on Aging that connected me to $1,200 a year in programs that help pay for food, medicine, utilities, and more. Maybe it can help you. BenefitsCheckup.org.
This is the WHFR Journal on this Friday edition. We are celebrating the heat of this August season, but we are so, so excited to be celebrating some of the people that have inspired and contributed to and truly made Henry Ford College a success. We spoke in our previous interview about Rick Goward and the dedication of the Rick L. Goward Band Room taking place next Tuesday. We also spoke with Kevin Dewey of the music program, who is officially retired. I can't even believe that. It doesn't even make sense when I say it, but it'll sink in. I'm in denial. But we are also wanting to circle back to what we started our hour about today and talk about the legend that is John McDonald, the legacy that John McDonald of Henry Ford College has left on this campus community, our community here in the Dearborn area, and really community at large. So couldn't think of a better person to have a discussion about this subject with than our own current 1650 president of our local teachers union, and that is the one and only Eric Rader. Eric, it's been a long time since you've been in studio with us, but welcome back. We're glad to have you here.
Thank you, Susan. It's great to be here.
Thank you. I promised I wouldn't get emotional during this hour, but I think I have to rescind that promise because it could happen, but it is not without all the all the memories and the history that come flooding forward when we even talk about John McDonald. When we bring up the name, instantly people think about their favorite things or the most what we're most grateful to him in his legacy, in his time here. And we had him for a long time at Henry Ford College, so we're very lucky for that. Never long enough. Tell us a little bit about the dedication, first of all, that's taking place on Tuesday for the building name change and so on. In the building that we're sitting in right now, the Student and Culinary Arts Center, Student Center and Culinary Arts Building, which I won't have to remember. I'm just going to call it the John McDonald Building moving forward. But tell us a little bit about how that came about, and then we'll reminisce a little bit.
Yeah, thanks, Susan. Yes, we are sitting in the building that will soon have John's name on it. John was, as you said, a legend here at Henry Ford College. He was a student. He was a teacher. He was the president of the union for almost 44 years, mentor to many of us, certainly the most important mentor I ever had and a dear, dear friend. But John passed away at the end of 2021, very sadly, and in the months after that, when we came back in 2022, a number of us had discussions about how we would honor John's long legacy here at the college. I spoke to some board members. Some board members approached me saying, how can we honor John? I mean, they did an initial resolution, which was wonderful, and some other things early on where Denise McDonald, John's wife, was able to be here. But we really were thinking about kind of a long-term way of honoring John. And so the idea of renaming a building, we weren't exactly sure which one, of renaming a building after him came to mind, because that certainly is, he was a fixture here on campus, and it seemed appropriate that some building on this campus would have his name on it. So as those kind of discussions continued, we had a lot of discussions with board members and President Cavalluna and others, and it just made sense that the Student and Culinary Arts Center would be the building that would bear John's name. So that's kind of, that was the process, and then the board unanimously voted in, I believe, February of this year to honor John with the naming of this building. So that's kind of how that came to be, I guess.
So officially, what is the name?
The official name, I believe his middle initial is going to be used. I may be wrong, but his middle initial was J. So the John J. McDonald, if it's not in there, then it's John McDonald. But I think it's John J. McDonald, John J. McDonald Student and Culinary Arts Center.
Got it. It is a mouthful. I remember seeing, this was months and months and months ago, our own Fred Steiner of, the purchasing department and so much that he's done here. I know he was at one point just standing outside of the building, I think being inspired. I said, what are you doing? He's like, I'm trying to figure out the best name to make the suggestions. We're trying to figure it out, and I'm just hoping it's going to speak to me. Well, somehow it did, and I know we will remember it because it will be on the building itself. So we look forward
to
that. But I'm just going to call it the John McDonald Building because I just love saying his name. It is completely obvious to me as an internal person that This is a student-centered building, and John, although you would think in his role as union president for the Local 1654, the teachers' union, would be teacher-focused, but that was because he was student-focused, and he knew the way, the best way to get the students to be successful was to make sure that the teachers were successful. And that is like a three parts removed kind of a thing, but we never want to underestimate, you know, how connected he was, albeit indirectly, to student success. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Absolutely, yes. So John was a student here. He started out here before he transferred to the University of Michigan, and he told me many stories about he wasn't really all that familiar with. He lived just up the road. He lived in Detroit, but not, just a couple miles from the campus, and he was not very familiar with Henry Ford Community College at that time. But he enrolled here as a student, and that really was something that stuck with him for the rest of his life, the importance of having a community college as a gateway maybe to additional education as so many students go on to University of Michigan or Eastern or other schools, but also as a gateway to a better life. And he never forgot the experience he had here at Henry Ford. And so he was a student here for a couple of years, transferred to U of M, and then, of course, came back later on as a faculty member. But I know in the many conversations I had with John over the years, he never forgot that student experience, and that was the motivation for everything he did as the union president. Obviously, we focus on wages and benefits and working conditions and the kind of the contractual stuff, but his overarching goal was to have a very well-prepared, well-qualified, and well-paid and well just lots of that we were that our professional standing was important because the students who come here deserve the best. They deserve the best teachers, the best experience, the best campus experience. And so that was the motivation behind anything he did as a faculty member or as the president of the union.
Yeah, an English teacher, we recall. And he certainly had a way with words. And one of the most eloquent speakers I'd ever heard in my entire life. I think when he was here in our studio for the very last time, quite an honor for me, I remember saying to him that that he was the smartest man I'd ever known. And I, no offense to you, Eric, or anybody else, but I think that's still true.
It's and no offense at all, because he's the smartest man I ever knew. So yeah absolutely.
Yeah. What do you think it was about John that kept him motivated? Because I know the desire to be, you know, sort of that altruistic, that good for everybody and so on, can take you a long way. Mm-hmm. But he fought some battles.
Yes.
There were some battles, and the man never wavered. I had complete confidence in any time, in anything that was going on, that it would happen the way he wanted it to happen. He just never showed, a crack or a break ever. How was that true? How did that happen?
You know, I don't know, because I don't think I have that ability, but he was very consistent, very persistent. He used to tell a story, which is, I think I told at his memorial, about a little girl when he was a young boy, a toddler, a little bit older, a little girl who stole his tricycle. And he was adamant that he had to get that tricycle back from this little girl. And eventually, I think he got it back. And I don't know what happened there. But he said that idea, that persistence, that he wouldn't give up. And of course, he did that on behalf of the hundreds of faculty members he represented in Local 1650. He was also doing that on behalf of the students at this college. But he just had a consistency and a motivation. He had very clear goals. Now, sometimes he had to change course, because in this role, as I've learned in my 18 months in it, you have your idea, the other side may have their idea, and you have to reach a compromise on a lot of things. But he never lost sight of what was important. And I think that motivated him from the time he was a little kid with a little girl all the way till the very end. I can tell you that until the last days of his life, he was working on behalf of all of us. He never quit. So.
Yeah, Wow, that's what a legacy. We're speaking about John McDonald, former Local 1650 union president here at Henry Ford College for 40, how many years?
Officially 43, but he really was closer to 44. In fact, I looked in our records after he died, and he took office as the president of Local 1650 in January of 1978, and he died in December of 2021. So really, it was almost 44 years.
Goodness. And beyond his presidency here in our union, we know that he was sought after and agreed to serving the bigger, sort of greater good here with this union. Can you speak about his experience beyond Henry Ford College with the AFT?
Absolutely, yeah. So throughout his entire tenure as the president here at Henry Ford, he was also an AFT, well, it used to be the Michigan Federation of Teachers, and then became AFT Michigan, the statewide affiliate of the American Federation of Teachers. So he was a vice president for his entire tenure, or virtually his entire tenure as president here. And then in 2012, when the AFT National Convention was here in Detroit, he was elected on Randy Weingarten is our national president. He was elected on her slate, and she invited him to be on her slate as one of the, there are 43 national vice presidents of the American Federation of Teachers, and he was on her slate, and he was elected in 2012 here in Detroit, which was a very strong point of pride for him, that it was here in Detroit. It could have been anywhere, but it happened to be here. And he earned that spot. I can tell you, because I've become active in AFT at the national level, it was a credit to him that he was asked to be on that slate, because we are a relatively small local union. I mean, we have about 180 some members, and a lot of the people who serve as vice presidents are representing big state federations or big locals like New York. And so it was a credit to his tenacity, his hard work, the fact that he cared not just about what we were doing here, but how it fit into the broader picture of trade unionism in the United States and public education and all of that. And so he worked very hard, and he earned his spot on the AFT National Executive Council and contributed and worked very closely with Randy Weingarten and other national officers to make public education and union movement stronger at the national level, not just here. And I will say one other thing about that is that he advocated on the executive council of the AFT for community colleges, because we occupy a very unique role in American public education. And so he was a strong voice at the national level for community colleges and the great work we do with our students. So.
Bringing it right back to his time as a student here at HFC, CC at the time. Eric Rader is joining us. He is our Local 1650 union president here on campus. And Eric, again, you obviously listened really well and took so much of what he was giving out by way of example and I'm sure advice working with John so closely for so many years. So thank you and congratulations on keeping the torch going as strongly. What are some things that you maybe admired most about John with sort of the way he did his business on a day-to-day basis?
One thing I always admired about him was his work ethic, because he worked very hard. After he died, one of the things I miss many things about John McDonald, more on the personal side than the professional. But on the professional side, one of the things I missed was getting 2 a.m. emails from John at 2:31 and 3 o'clock a.m. Emails, because he would sometimes in the middle of the night, something he would wake up with a thought about something related to something going on here on campus or with our contract or whatever, and he would email members of our executive board about something that came to mind. Now, he didn't get nearly as much sleep as he should have gotten, but this place, and not just the union, but this place, this institution, was always on his mind. And so that work ethic was something I admired. His loyalty. He was loyal to the members of Local 1650. And not just to the current members, he would talk about the retirees. He loved the retirees. He would invite them back for events here on campus. He would invite them to his home. He had very close relationships with many of them. And of course, when he started out, out as the president, he was in his 30s, and a lot of these people who were retirees in later years were still active members, but were kind of finishing their careers. So one of the things that I always thought was he was a link between the founders of this college, because some of them had been here in the 40s and 50s or after World War II, and then continued into the 70s and then retired soon after he started as president. But he was a living link to that generation, kind of the greatest generation, as we would call them. And so those stories that he would tell and that loyalty, he would go to funerals, he would go to weddings, he would celebrate the births of children of active members, but also grandchildren of our retirees or members. And so just that he never forgot the human element of what we do. So
Wow, that's a great. We know that aside from the art of crafting and advocating for a great contract, he also supported the college in general financially through serving as the head person there for the Adrie Memorial Golf outings for so many years. And getting to go to some of those and seeing him just really, his passion just shining through on how we're raising money for scholarships for students to keep this school available and accessible to anybody that wants to come here. Can you share a little bit about his advocacy in terms of fundraising as it relates to his legacy?
Absolutely, yeah. He knew that students needed the resources to be able to come to this college. I mean, we're certainly very affordable compared to many other places, but that it still costs money to be a student here at the college. And so the Adrie Golf Tournament was his baby in a lot of ways. I can remember as I was coming into leadership, kind of getting involved a little bit with it, not nearly to the extent he was, and I know how proud he was of I don't know how much money was raised over the years for the Adrie, but many thousands, I'm quite certain.
I think last count it was they hit the million mark.
Okay.
I think it was
okay.
At the last one or two that we've had, we were able to say we broke a million.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
And again, that's to his credit, because he recognized too the importance, and I certainly recognize the importance of the community that we're in Dearborn. And of course, we have so many students who come from beyond Dearborn, but that Dearborn community, and we're kind of like the small town it's a big city, but a small town feel. And he had so many connections in this broader community that he was able to, and it wasn't just that he asked them for money. These were real friends of his. Gary Coleman is one that comes to mind, and in fact, we have a room named for him here in this building, the longtime owner of Park Place Catering. That's just one name. I don't want to start to get into names, but Gary Coleman's name comes to mind, and certainly Mike Adrie, for whom the tournament was named, and our Adrie Auditorium. He had connections with these families, and so those Joe Hallis is another one. I said I wouldn't say names, but those are three names.
Three buildings, yeah,
yes,
that's
yes.
Right, yeah, or three rooms.
Yeah, yeah. When Joe Hallis's name is on the Student Resource Center, whatever it's called, the
Learning Resource Center.
Yes,
yeah.
And he spoke with great affection. So it wasn't a situation where he was just asking them for money. He had real friendships with them. He shopped at Mike Adrie's camera shop, I think, and those kinds of things, and he knew their families, and those were genuine things. He wasn't doing it with the idea that we're going to raise money through this, but of course, one of the advantages of having such good friendships is that when he needed their help, they were more than willing to step up and help this raise money for the Adrie or for other causes. The millage campaigns, which he ran for many years, and along with Joe and Mike and some others. Those kind of connections, and he loved these people. I mean, and several of them have passed away. Certainly, Joe and others, but he would speak with great affection about them for long after they had passed away. So that was the fundraising was important, but it was also the personal connections that he had established with so many people in this community.
Yeah, and having that institutional knowledge that he had, both internally. Campus community and also community at large, it really did seem seamless the way he could kind of weave all that together, and everybody was happy.
Yes.
It's amazing. Denise McDonald, John's wife, has served, and if I understand, still serving on the foundation board here at Henry Ford College. Yeah, this is going to be an emotional day, I'm sure, on Tuesday, when this building is dedicated to the legacy of her, the love of her life, as we've heard the story, John McDonald. But it's, I think, and clearly the Board of Trustees agrees, it is a necessary and appropriate way to not only honor that human being that is being sort of immortalized as the facade or the face of the building, but for others that walk on this campus now and in the future. I don't know about you, but I tend to research if I'm like on a campus. I'm like, I wonder who that person was. I wonder what that means. And the stories that you discover are truly amazing. So it is that positive sort of beacon that is still going to come out. That is John McDonald through having his name on this building, just like Joe Halsey or Mike Adre or, you know, any of the others. So for that, we are very grateful to not only our board, but also the committee who sort of petitioned to put all this forward. And his legacy is going to continue to be showcased. And I hope that students are inquisitive like me and might say, I wonder who's this guy? Why does he get a building? You know, what did he do? Because that keeps all of that going, keeps it alive. So it's not all on your shoulders, Aaron.
Thank you.
That's a lot. Yeah. But I hope that will be the case, and I suspect that's sort of part of why we do these things. Yes.
Oh, I would very much agree. Yeah. I mean, and I thought a lot about that because at some point I will retire from here, and I think about the fact that John's name will be here forever on this building, and people will ask the question, because I asked the question when I started here as a faculty member, who is Joe Halsey, or who is, I certainly knew who Walter Reuther is in the liberal arts building. He had a great legacy that I knew about nationally, but there were others who were more local who I didn't know, and I got to know Grant McKenzie on the fine arts building. So I think that's there's a reason names are put on buildings. It's not just, I mean, we honor them, and they become a way for the future generations of not just students, but also faculty and staff and administrators to say this was somebody who was very important, a key pillar of this institution and the success we've had. So, and I will say, because you brought up Denise is a dear friend of mine, and I know I'm great, very grateful that she's going to be here and celebrating all this, because certainly she herself was well established in the Dearborn community before she met John, and they have a great love story that deserves its own segment probably, but she is still on the foundation board. She chaired it for a number of years and remains on it, and certainly is a dear friend of mine. So,
yeah. So, what can we expect? What do we need to do in advance if we have a listener that wants to be a part of this, that wants to come in for the celebration on Tuesday, the 22nd at noon?
So, so next Tuesday, the 22nd, there will be, we're having a luncheon, which will be here in the building, the John McDonald Student and Culinary Arts Center, if I said it right. Hopefully I did. But it is starting at noon. We have those of us who are faculty and staff have a morning of meetings, because that's our report back day. But we chose that day as the day for the dedication, because we knew we'd have so many people on campus, and it just seemed like a very appropriate day to do it, the day that we were back. But so a noon lunch and a dedication ceremony here in this building. And all of this has been coordinated out of Vice President Reginald Best's office, so the foundation office. So any questions about kind of RSVPing or attending could be directed to Vice President Best's office, and they certainly can provide information and so forth. And I know that they've, because we're expecting a lot of people, that the number of parking lots will, the gates will be up, so you won't have to have a card to get in if you're not an employee of the college, and there'll be plenty of parking for people, so.
Great. And if you haven't been on our campus for a while, the Student Center building, as we kind of currently call it, is this very front building on campus. This is where the 5101 restaurant is. This is where the former pavilion, now pavilion, used to be the pagoda room from when I was a student here many, many years ago. And, of course, our radio station right here. So it's a very active hustle and bustle kind of a building, and that's what we love about it. So, and we are front-facing the ever Evergreen Road. We are on the Evergreen Road campus here in Dearborn. So, yeah, we encourage you to check it out. If you want to learn more, just go to the website, hfcc.edu, and there you'll find information. You can just search dedication or, you know, John McDonald building dedication, or Rick Goward for that matter, and the story will come up, and you'll find the contact information. Again, hfcc.edu, and Reginald Best, Vice President Best, heading the foundation office. Eric, 18 months in, you said. You're looking good. You look like you're feeling pretty good. So biggest hurdle you're dealing with now, biggest challenge, biggest issue, how can we send positive vibes and help?
Well, I will say the biggest challenge in the first 18 months, one, obviously succeeding a legendary person, as there was no way possible that I could fill John McDonald's shoes. I wouldn't have tried. It's an impossibility. But certainly I worked with him as a vice president and on the executive board for a number of years, and he would not have expected me to do it any other way than my own way. He knew I was I'm a different person and a different personality. So I've certainly learned a lot. I learned a lot about what comes to the union president's desk and the voicemails, and I learned from him that you respond right away. You don't let things linger, you answer emails, you respond to members' concerns, but also the relationships I'm developing with administrators. I mean, I knew our administrators before, but obviously I'm in a different role now and appreciate the relationships I've developed with our college president, President Cavaluna, and the vice presidents and deans and associate deans.
Welcome. So hfcc.edu is the main website to go to check out information on all of the things we've talked about this hour, and we'll continue to share information on. But again, Tuesday's dedication starting at noon, and if you'd like more information, it would be the office of the foundation at Henry Ford College under the direction of Vice President Reginald Best. Eric Rader, 1650 president here at Henry Ford College, thank you for your contribution and commitment to the just the success of this institution, and thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Susan. It's always great to be with you.
Right.
Thanks.
This is the WHFR Journal on this Friday afternoon. We have so much more on the way here at WHFR. We hope you'll stay with us. We thank you for tuning in this Friday in the 1 o'clock hour, and we hope you'll continue to listen each and every Friday for local news and views on this campus community and the community at large.
Looking to make a difference? Volunteer for your local fire department. Join a family that will serve with you, always have your back, and train you to be the best version of yourself. Visit MakeMeAFirefighter.org.
You can hear rock and roll from the 60s mixed with the British invasion, 50s blues and R&B, with a slice of psychedelia thrown in for good measure. It's all on the Rollin' and Tumblin' program. Mondays from 4 to 6 p.m. right here, WHFR.FM.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn, listener-supported, non-commercial radio, featuring local and independent artists.